just because we don't need an office doesn't mean we don't want one. And I think what we're trying to do here is make sure people still want an office.
Welcome back to the Word Bold Podcast, where we chat with the leaders in commercial real estate to answer all questions space as a service. This podcast is for anyone involved in commercial real estate in any way. If you're an investor, a fund manager, developer, property manager, agent, or broker, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. I'm your host, Caleb Parker, and today we've got a special treat for all you forward thinkers and space as a service revolutionaries out there. Joining us from his podcast studio in the vibrant heart of Amsterdam is a visionary whose work is as inspiring as it is transformative. I'm joined by Robert Sparrowboom, the maestro behind H&K, a space as a service brand in the Netherlands. H&K is the OpCo brand owned by listed real estate investor NSI. We dive into their journey of reimagining their office assets, moving from product to service. Under Robert's leadership, H&K has evolved to blend real estate, design, innovation, and hospitality to create environments that aren't just functional, but fundamentally exquisite. In this episode, we peel back the layers of his strategy, the challenges and triumphs of rebranding and repositioning the H&K brand, and how they're rolling out this vision to breathe new life into existing and new locations. That leads on to the topic of valuations, underwriting, and a new Dutch law that opens up the door to new exit opportunities. Before we head into the studio with Robert, I want to give a big shout out to our headline sponsor this season, Freshwave. Freshwave is the connectivity infrastructure as a service provider, making sure mobile phone signals work in office buildings. Freshwave has connected some of the biggest, most challenging wireless environments in the UK, and they can be found in over 2,000 buildings nationwide. And let me tell you from personal experience, Freshwave improves customer satisfaction in office buildings. Now, Jeff, let's kick it. Welcome to the Word Bold Podcast, Robert.
Thanks very much, Caleb. Nice to be here.
It's good to see you. For those who are only listening here and they can't see the picture, they can't see the video, both of us have our mics in our faces right now. Robert's in Amsterdam in the podcast studio, and I think we're both on this big time with the podcasting. So welcome to the Word Bold Podcast, dude.
Thanks. Nice to be here. Finally. Looking forward to it.
Me too. We had some conversations recently, and we know each other through our good friend Anthony Slumbers. And I understand Anthony's teachings has inspired you guys, and I just want to hear from you how your journey got started.
Definitely. Anthony is a great inspiration for us. I think we first met Anthony before COVID, and we had him over here in Amsterdam for a session from him on space as a service, which we knew already that was a kind of the trend that was going to be followed. But he gave us a lot of insights, and it really forced us to think about what our business model would be in the upcoming years as a real estate investor and as an operator already. So and from there the journey started for the whole company. I would say we already had a flex operator, an in-house operator, which is called H&K, which translates in English to the new office. We've had that since 2012, and we kind of got a bit lost on what we wanted with it. And, you know, hearing Anthony talk on major trends and shifts in the world, reinforced us to really relook at our brand and our operation. So that was the start of the journey. Yeah.
Well, I'd be interested to hear how you were operating before and after Anthony's influence. What changed?
I think the biggest change was, the history of H&K was we started it in 2012, and we just came out of a major financial crisis. We had a lot of large properties where large tenants had left, so vacancy was high. And we kind of saw H&K as the remedy for vacancy. So every building that became vacant, we said, perhaps we could put an H&K there, lease out smaller spaces, and then we at least get some cash flow and some revenue. But, you know, in that process, you kind of lose track of what it is you're trying to do, and that is create a solution for your customers, especially with your operation. And I think the biggest change is that we're now seeing it as a major asset going towards the future rather than a a remedy for our problems, but a solution for our clients. I think that's the major change.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say about filling that vacancy, getting some cash flow in, because I think a lot of landlords, and in my previous life, I was talking to a lot of landlords about how they can bring flex into their portfolio. And often they look at the spaces that are hard to sell, sometimes lower ground or basement, and it's not the best environment sometimes for people, but they were just looking at ways to sort of generate some income off that space. But now a lot of the conversations we're having with people, it's about putting that customer at the center of the universe and making sure we're providing a service that is a great environment. So I'm curious if there was a parallel with you guys. Were you just sort of doing the underutilized spaces before, and now you're doing like high quality stuff?
Yeah, I think that's a big change. So first what we did, and that was even pre-COVID, we saw what was happening. We saw the shift from a B2B to a B2B2C. You know, the end consumer is the person that's using your building. The digitalization, the servitization. So we recognized that shift, and we said, okay, well, we have this operator, we have this brand, we have that experience, we have that machine. So let's re-look at it, rebrand it. And when we started from scratch, so who is our target audience? What locations do we want to be in? What size of building should that be? Look at the exterior of the brand. So logos, websites, look at the back end of the brand. So IT, your booking system, everything. Yeah, we redid, so to say. And that resulted in a new brand, still the same name, but a completely renewed brand and a completely renewed operation.
So with that rebrand, and I'm kind of going back to my last question about the underutilized space versus the premium space, did shifting from driving cash flow and vacancies or vacant spaces to driving great customer service and being brand led, did that drive the rebrand?
Yes, because, you know, as I said earlier, we started to see it as an asset in which you can get even more premium on a premium location. So also from a financial standpoint, it was the good step. And we had 14 locations at that moment, and now we're back to 9. So we sold locations that didn't work for us. You know, and we got enough cash flow from it. And so the business model was there. But it didn't do anything for the brand. It didn't do anything for our investment strategy as a listed real investor, a listed real estate investor. So that was the right choice to go back to it. And when we look at new locations now, we look at the location that we really want, and which we say, okay, that's what our customers want. They want that flexibility, they want that service, and they want to be in a location that's really well accessible next to train stations, great parking, and with the space within the building for us to create the amenities and the services that they need.
That makes sense. You're, instead of if you build it, they will come, you're actually being customer led in your acquisition targets.
Exactly.
And I just want to underline, you are a listed company. Is the listed company the actual space as a service brand? Is it a different company, or is it all one and the same?
It is all one and the same. There are different entities, but behind it, it's the same company. Yeah.
I imagine being a listed company, there's some challenges to that, being one and the same. Can you talk about those?
Yeah, it's a blessing and a curse. The blessing is that you have 30 years of real estate experience together, that you have a professional operation, and that you have also the financial means to create the spaces that you want. And I think the blessing is that sustainability is one of the key points for NSI as a real estate investor, but also for us as HNK as an operator. And we could, we definitely take the extra step on that part. And the curse behind it is that you're, I think, compared to a lot of other operators, you're a bit slower. There's a bit more legal involved. There are some things you can't do. The IT systems, you're a bit more limited than I think others are. But overall, I think it's what we always say is one of our USPs, especially on sustainability. No competitors can reach that level.
So I imagine one of the benefits then is having this networked approach, having all of your buildings have consistency across the network. How have you seen your customer utilize that network ability?
Yeah, it's becoming increasingly more, because we opened this new location in Amsterdam. It's the fourth location in Amsterdam. So they really kind of get to know us now. And I think the IT behind it is a major part in that as well. We have our own app environment where you can easily book spaces and services on all locations. Also from our booking module through the website, you can easily see, you know, what kind of amenities each location has. And as a tenant, as a member of our network, there are just financial benefits as well. You get 50% discount on all meeting rooms, co-working desks, workspaces for a day. So yeah, you can really see it more and more. I have to say it is limited to the city internally mostly. So there are not a lot of customers who use locations in Rotterdam and Amsterdam, for instance. We have some training organizations. We have a couple of organizations that really use our network of meeting rooms, for instance, as a training facility throughout the country. But it's becoming more and more. Yeah.
So when you're talking to your peers, other developers, other real estate investors out there who may be less operational, but knowing that they have to embrace operational real estate because this is what customers want going forward. Lease links are coming down. People want more than four white walls. You guys have been doing this for quite some time. What sort of conversations are you having with them, or what questions are you getting from them?
Yeah, I think the challenge for a lot of owners is, where do you start? I think that's it's difficult. Questions about branding, about the number of locations, about overhead costs, about profitability. It's, if you compare it to, I always say, being an operator, you have to do a lot of work for not so much money often, a lot of micro transactions, so to say. Whereas traditional real estate, of course, large sums of money, less work. So why would I do it? That's probably the first question you get. But as you said, I think it's the market, it's a demand of our customers that drive this trend. So you have to embrace it. I think that a lot of them see it now, and I think there are two choices. Either you start doing it yourself, so become that owner operator, or go in bed with other operators to do it for you. And I think there is not a third option in the future.
Well, clearly you guys have chose to do it yourself. This was a while ago, but what drove that decision?
Back then, it was, like I mentioned before, it kind of evolved. I don't think there was a clear decision back then. But a couple of years ago, when we rebranded, we said, well, given that changing world, given those two options that I previously mentioned, you know, the operator in between is not our customer. It's the organization that leases and uses the space that is our customer. So if we want to be connected to our customer, we have to do it ourselves. Otherwise, we will change into a more financial asset manager rather than a real estate asset manager. And we said, well, with our experience, with our team, we can make a difference in being a real estate investor and an operator.
And I think that's probably the main question that our peers need to be asking themselves. Are they a financial asset manager or a real estate asset manager? And that answer will determine what direction they take.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me? Sorry, you're breaking up.
80% of mobile phone calls are made from inside buildings. And while energy-efficient building materials like low-E glass are good for the environment, they block mobile signal entering from outdoors. Poor indoor mobile signal can mean lower productivity for businesses, make buildings less appealing to prospective tenants, and ultimately impact the valuation of the building itself. Freshwave solves this problem. We deploy in-building mobile systems that connect directly to the mobile network you need, whether that's just one operator or four. This guarantees the quality of service. Visit freshwavegroup.com to find out more.
I want to move into the big hairy topic, the elephant in the room, so to speak, and that's the exit path. So I'd be curious to understand how you guys see your exits on your assets. Is this permanent capital? Or are you going in with a value add vehicle, getting it up to stability, refinancing or exiting the real estate asset, but continue operating it? And then of course, my next question is going to be on the cap rate spread between traditional real estate revenues and flex revenues.
Yeah, to come back to the first part, exit strategy, I think we always step in with a value add mindset from a building perspective, as well as from a cash flow perspective, I think once we add an H&K in the building, we usually see additional income on our flexible part of the building, but also on the more conventional spaces. So that drives, of course, IRRs. And exit is more driven by an overall investment strategy within NSI. And yeah, like I said, the buildings that we sold, so the H&K buildings that we sold as well, being that we are not a OpCo PropCo in the traditional sense, yeah, also has as a result that our operation ends there. And that brings, of course, some difficulties with it. Expectations on amenities and services that your tenants had and will have in the future. So and I think it's good to explain a bit more on that. In the Netherlands, there's a fiscal regime called FBE, and that dictates you as an investor to not be an entrepreneur. You have to be a passive investor. Well, as you know, being an operator is not being a passive investor. It's really trying to be an entrepreneur at least. So there's some trouble in that. But there are all sorts of agreements on a wiggle room what we can do as an operator. But one thing that we couldn't do in the past is sell a building and extend the operation in a management contract agreement. In the future, it will probably change as of 2025. And that can have the result that, for instance, that it is the wise real estate decision to sell a building. And it could also be the wise decision to remain, to keep the operation in the building. It could even be a driver for additional income for the buyer. So yeah, that gives us, I think, far more options.
So what I understood from that, if I play it back to you, is that if you sell this building that you're operating as an H&K flex operation, full stack, I'm going to call it, you can't continue operating under that brand. The new owner has to then take on the operations and they'd have to bring in their own flex operator or manage it themselves. That sounds so counterintuitive, because if I'm an investor and I say that this building is now stabilized, I want to buy it and get some bond-like returns here, although maybe a slightly different profile, I want to keep the same operation going. So I'm glad they're changing the rules there, because that just doesn't make sense.
No, definitely. And there's value in your brand, you know, and it's also not good for how people look at your brand, you know, just pulling the plug out of it. As you know, sales processes can take quite a long time where nothing is being published and then it's done and everybody has to move in a couple of weeks. So yeah, that's damaging as well to the experience of your brand. So I'm really glad that will change in the future. That being said, if you look at the portfolio we have now, we are in the four large cities of the Netherlands. So Amsterdam, The Hague, Rotterdam, and Utrecht. These are properties we have a long-term investment strategy. So a sale is not likely for the properties we have there. But you never know, of course.
Sure, of course. Well, that's interesting. So you're taking more of a permanent capital evergreen strategy on those. So I understand on the long-term capital, maybe the cap rates valuation conversation isn't as important because you're just looking to drive cash flow for the long term. But have you seen on the assets that you're selling, the footprint of flex being negatively impacting the valuation?
Negatively, I would say no, but positively also probably no. I think the end result is probably the same. And it's also a bit difficult because the properties we've sold are in locations that have limited references. So it's also a bit difficult to say, did we get a premium or not? But yeah, of course, that additional cash flow is being valued, but at a higher discount rate than traditional leases. And that's an ongoing discussion always with our valuers. And I think that's not just for us, it's for every investor in the world who is doing this. So, but yeah, you see developments there as well, looking more at the hotel market, of course. And I think there needs to become more and more evidence and a larger transparency within the market to really move forward on that part. But at the moment, I think valuers are quite conservative.
Yeah, I would say that's one way to describe it. But no, it's good to hear that it's a neutral impact for you right now. And I think that as demand continues to drive flexibility and service and hospitality, we have to come up with better ways to value this. But it's good to know that that increase in OI doesn't get completely washed out and it actually balances out.
No, and I think that you get more and more evidence that the service level that you provide also has effects on retention rates, on tenant satisfaction scores. It drives the overall attractiveness of your property. And that in the end has financial results.
100%. 100%. I'm actually hosting a roundtable in a couple of weeks on flex valuations. And I might have to quote you on some of this in that conversation. This has been a fantastic conversation. I really appreciate it. I admire what you guys are doing. And I look forward to coming over to Amsterdam and seeing some of your sites and hopefully working together in some ways.
Yeah, definitely. Always welcome. Stop by our newest location in the Sloterdijk area of Amsterdam. Where I am now, we could do a podcast in the podcast room.
There we go. Next podcast is on you at your place. I'll give Anthony Slumbers one more shout out and thank you for this connection here. Obviously, he was in your newest site and raved about it. So I look forward to seeing that.
Yeah, he was very happy about the steps we've taken. Yeah, it was nice to have him over here. And yeah, I always like his quote, just because we don't need an office doesn't mean we don't want one. And I think what we're trying to do here is make sure people still want an office.
That's a big value bomb.
Well said. Robert, I will put a link to your LinkedIn in the show notes so people can connect with you and obviously a link to your website. Thank you so much for taking the time. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, take care of yourself.
Mobile Signal inside buildings is a must-have. And connectivity infrastructure as a service provider, Freshwave, delivers it with flexible commercial terms that suit you. From landlord-funded mobile systems to pay-as-you-occupy, or a mixture of the two, we work with you to deliver the digital connectivity you and your building needs. So whether you're a real estate developer, landlord, or tenant, we'll make sure you're on. Visit freshwavegroup.com to find out more.
Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And remember, fortune favors the bold. Drumroll, please. P.S. If you want to find out about future-proofing your portfolio, head over to newflex.com.
Attention business owners, my name is Jason Allen Scott and I've got a game-changing opportunity. At least I think it is and so do my clients. Are you ready to build a wildly successful business from your podcast or use your podcast to increase the success of your business? Why not try Podcasting for Business, the ultimate program to monetize your message and skyrocket your success? I'll work closely with you to refine your business model, revenue streams, and messaging, ensuring your podcast becomes a powerful tool for driving growth and generating income, just like we've done for so many clients before. As a seasoned podcasting coach, I've helped countless entrepreneurs transform their podcasts into thriving, profitable ventures. Our unique hybrid coaching model combines online learning with personalized one-to-one coaching calls. Together, we'll fine-tune your podcast's business potential, creating a clear roadmap to success that aligns with your goals and vision. Don't miss this opportunity to transform your podcast into a profitable business. Visit podcastingforbusiness.co today and take the first steps towards unlocking your podcasting potential. Let's build something special together.